2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 15. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to there with me. Thank you for having it read this morning. Just want to highlight a couple of things as we get into this passage. First of all, this is about David. David is supposed to be going off to war, but he's staying back in Jerusalem. In his staying back, he encounters this woman that he sees. He lusts for her. He invites her over to the palace. They sleep together. There's this message that gets sent back that she is now pregnant. And David begins to fall into this deep spiral of decisions that he begins to make. And from these decisions comes this manipulation to try and get out of this this event that he's gotten himself into, where he's gotten this woman pregnant. And so we see this happening. And what I want to focus on this morning as we look into God's Word is that this is not an easy passage to read. You know, when I read this, it kind of brings up feelings for me. Because when I read this, I think, wow, this is a really dark passage. It's about the darkness of our humanity. It is the things that sometimes we try to cover up. It's the stuff that you find on news and that you just shudder and you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that's happening. And so when we read this passage, and as it was being read this morning, I wonder what kind of feelings, what kind of thoughts were coming out for you as you were listening to this. Was it hard for you to hear? You know, is it hard to hear this and then say, this is the word of the Lord, thank you for it? I don't know about you, but for me, it's like, oh, does it have to be here? Does it have to be part of this? But the thing is that God doesn't shy away from the dark, messy places of our lives. As much as we would like to have the scriptures filled with just the good things, God also says there is a truth to our humanity that we need to pay attention to. Something that draws us in. When we read this passage, the question has to be asked is, what is this about? Is this about the sexual exploits of a king? Is this about a murder plot of someone that is in a high position of power trying to cover up some scandal? If it is, then for many of us, we cannot connect to this passage. Because many of us, we don't live in these positions of high power or with extreme authority or with excessive riches. But rather, what I think this passage is about is a deeper, more basic human need, a condition that we all have, a common narrative that we can all identify with, a narrative of a human being whose basic needs are met in destructive ways and the devastating consequences of those decisions. If we look at 2 Samuel chapter 11 as that, then we can identify with this passage and that the sometimes in our lives that there are these destructive ways that come out, the ways that we try to meet our basic needs for intimacy, for connection, for significance, the need to hide, the need to find safety, the need for escape from overwhelming mistakes, the need for control and power, the need for survival, and how we use people, how we manipulate situations and facts to try and get those needs that we all have. Basic needs that sometimes drive us to fulfill them in very destructive ways. Like an addict who seeks comfort and escape from the unbearable pressures of life. Or a person who believes that suicide is the only solution to stop their pain. A person who commits adultery looking to just feel loved, to feel valued once again, to find intimacy, to find that love that was lost in their marriage. It's the basics that we need as human beings that sometimes drive us towards sometimes very destructive ends. You know, as a counselor, as a therapist, I sit and I listen to the hurts and the sufferings of people. these basic needs that come out and are expressed, and how people have tried their best to find their way in life and get stuck and make decisions that bring them to a place where they are in desperate need of help. And if we see this passage from this perspective, then I wonder, how many of us can identify with this? Perhaps you know someone who is going through this at this moment. Maybe if you're brave enough, you'd look inside and you say, that's where I'm at right now. And what we see in the infidelity, in the manipulation, in the lies, and in the murder, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, what I call are more the symptoms and not the actual problem. Because King David, who acted on his impulses, who tries desperately to cover up his mistakes, was acting on the same basic needs that we all have. And what we see here is we see a pattern that can affect all of us. And so I stand here this morning and I say to you that we cannot pass judgment on David because we all live on that edge. So what can we learn from King David? What is it that God wants us to hear this morning through this passage of 2 Samuel 11? I think the message is this, is that sometimes in our struggle for our basic needs, we can forget who we are. In this passage, we see King David make a series of mistakes that I would call mistakes in identity. In verse 1, we see that he forgets his purpose. Verse 1 says chapter 11, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, King David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, and they destroyed the Ammonites and they besieged Rabbah. But it says that David remained in Jerusalem. As the king of Israel, David needed to be and do what kings needed to do. His position, his calling, his responsibilities, and to be at battle with his army was where he needed to be. But instead, he shies away from those duties for reasons we don't understand. And because of that, he's distracted from his purpose. Then in verse 4, we see that he abandoned his integrity. He abandoned his integrity as a leader, as a husband, as a role model. He let his sexual desires overtake his integrity. And we read that then David sent messengers to get this woman named Bathsheba, and she came to him and he slept with her. And then he sends her back home. And then verse 5 says that they received word from her that she's pregnant. His basic needs of significance, of importance, of pleasure overruled his sense of integrity and his personhood. And we see it being played out in this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We see this played out as Uriah is the opposite of David. Uriah models integrity for his nation and for his fellow soldiers, where King David lets his lust and his personal desires ruin him. Then in verse 14, we see that he loses his sense of humanity as he tries desperately to manipulate the situation and he tries to manipulate Uriah. And we see that in the morning, King David writes a letter to Joab and he sends it with Uriah. And in it he writes, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is the fiercest, and then withdraw from him so that he will be struck down and die. He loses his sense of humanity. And in a destructive attempt for his basic needs of survival and protection to hide the scandal, he plots the murder of Uriah. I want you to stop and think about this, that before we pass judgment, we need to understand that even though David was called a man after God's own heart, even the most godly can make the most godless of decisions. And when our basic needs are not met in healthy emotional, psychological, and spiritual ways, we try to fulfill them in ways that are filled with destruction. And we're all vulnerable to it. And so I ask you this morning, where have you been on the edge of meeting your needs? What have you done? And can you see how you could be like King David? Where have you forgotten who you are? Where have you forgotten your meaning and your purpose? Where have you abandoned your integrity? Where have you lost your sense of humanity? You ever thought of having an affair? That thought of a one-night stand, lustfully fantasizing about another person? You ever thought about harming another person or just wishing the very worst for someone else's life or even for yourself? You ever thought about how you could lie and cheat another person? Have you ever masterminded a manipulation or a cover-up? Have you ever thought of ways in desperate situations for your survival or for the protections of those that you love to be shocked at the thoughts that come up, the things that you thought you could do? It's in all of us. And King David's story can very much be our story too. Why? Because deep down inside of all of us, we all have these basic desires, these needs to feel good about ourselves, to feel important, to feel wanted, to feel loved, to feel needed. We all want to survive. We all want to live. We all want to feel powerful and significant and in control. We all want to feel like we can succeed, that we can be satisfied. We all want pleasure and to be strong and to be capable. And these basic needs move us to fulfill those needs in sometimes very destructive ways. And we do things. We do things that we're not proud of. We do things that bring us guilt and shame. We do things that leave us with regret and fear. These things lead us into dark places of anxiety and depression. And our basic needs, they push us. Oh, they push us so much, don't they? They push us. Sometimes they push us in healthy ways and we achieve and we grow and we succeed. And other times it leads us down very unhealthy paths. And what we need to understand is when it comes to our basic needs, it comes down to choices. And I was told in my own journey of counseling that sin is meeting your legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. And what King David did, when we see it from this perspective, we understand that any one of us can be like him. It all takes just a decision. But there's hope. What we don't see from this passage is the end of the narrative. And David has confronted the lies, the deceptions, the manipulations, the sex, the murder. It's all brought out into the light. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, King David gets confronted with this. There are consequences to his actions, and they're painful, and they're raw, they're deep. But we also see here in 2 Samuel chapter 12 is hope. Because God sends hope in the form of a helper into David's life. David learns this valuable lesson in the pain. There is this redemptive thread that begins to show. Now you need to hear this morning. Redemption does not mean we escape the responsibilities or the consequences. It means that in the accepting of the responsibility, in the accepting of the consequences, that there can be something good that can come out of this. That there is this place for healing, that there is this place for reconciliation, even within the darkness and in the destruction. And what makes the difference for King David was the redeeming power of God in his life and the presence of a man named Nathan who steps into David's mess. And like King David, there's hope for us today. Lessons to be learned, wounds to be healed, reconciliation to be made, consequences to be met with strength and humility. And with help, we can find ourselves again. King David in 2 Samuel needed Nathan the prophet to counsel him, to walk with him, to help him hear from God. And I believe that for all of us, we all need a Nathan in our lives. whether that's a community of support like this church, a person that we can speak to that is safe like a pastor or a counselor, or just a loving presence to help guide us. And Scripture tells us that confession is good for the soul, that it's healing for life. To talk about your struggles for your basic needs is an important thing that we ought to do in our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9 gives us these words, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." James chapter 5, verse 13-16 says, "If any one of you is in trouble, let him pray. If anyone's happy, let them sing songs of praise." And James goes on and he writes into verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other. Bring those destructive things that you've been using to try and fulfill those basic needs. Bring them to each other. Talk about it. Let it come to the surface. Confess it. Bring it before God. And then to pray for each other so that you may be healed." You see, God doesn't want us to continue in these destructive and irrational choices. And God brings Nathans into our lives every so often, men and women who can counsel and be there for us in our darkest places. Because sometimes we can't do it alone. Sometimes it takes a process of time and energy and personal growth and guidance. Sometimes it takes God's power to help us to challenge and to fill these needs in deep and satisfying and holy ways. And what is required of us? What is it that we need to be doing? First of all, we need to be allowing the work and the counseling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to acknowledge and to use the resources that God has given us and has already put inside us to seek help from others when we need to. And if we combine that with the love and the power and the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives, then we can find incredible hope and forgiveness and healing. One of the things that struck me as I read 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 15, is that as we read this narrative, this dark chapter of King David, I often wonder, how come there's not much said about God in the text? But the fact that it's here within Scripture tells me something very profound. That even though it's not explicit that God is in this moment, God is there. It's recorded in His Word. Because as much as maybe God is left out of this picture at this moment, He's not left out of the whole picture. And wherever you are right now, whether God is there or not, He is. He cares. God cared enough about this part of David's life that it made it into His Word. And that says something very important for me. And maybe for you as well this morning. That even though you may not see Him, He cares about you. Cares deeply about you. And your dark parts of your story are also recorded and noticed by Him. So I ask you this morning, what symptoms are showing up in your life today? What symptoms are showing up in your life today that are pointing you to the basic needs that you're seeking to fulfill? Are you fulfilling them with choices that are healthy, that are spiritually strong, that are emotionally good for you? Or are you filling them in illegitimate ways, very legitimate needs that we all have? And what would happen if we were to confess these inappropriate ways That if you were to confess that what you're doing right now and how you're seeking to fill your needs, if you brought them to God and said, Lord, here my needs are. And I know I'm not doing a good job of that. Would you help me? Would you send someone that I can trust to work with me? What would happen? What would happen if you could acknowledge your need for help and if you could stop the destructive thoughts and the behaviors working alongside of God and with others in your life? What would happen if you met your needs in healthier ways because you dared to look into those dark places and you would acknowledge them and you would say, yes, these are real. I'm not making this. I need to grow. I need you in my life, Jesus. What would happen? And what would happen if we recognized that even right now, that even if the decisions are without God, that you stopped and you said, God, I need to bring this back to you. These are the patterns that are going on in my life at this moment. And I'm going to confess them. I'm going to bring them before you. I'm going to admit them. I've made a series of mistakes. Would you teach me to meet my needs in ways that are healthy, ways that honor you, ways that are holy? What would happen? I want to offer you this thought. King David's life, this recorded part of his life, the reason why it's here is to help us to see that this could be us. As much as he made a decision that took him in the wrong direction, there can be new decisions to be made. King David learned that in chapter 12. And the decisions led him in a new way. And he writes Psalm 51. And so I ask you this morning, what choices did you think you had to make? And do you think those are the choices you still have to make? Or can God change those choices? And would you dare to choose a new way? Let's take King David's life as a lesson for us. I pray that God would change the way your life is going. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, and King David makes a series of mistakes in his life. From the very beginning, choosing not to go to war. And from there, the mistakes keep piling up on him. And the deeper he goes, the less he turns to you. Until there's a place in his life that you enter in and you stop him. But not without the consequences and the responsibilities of his actions. And God, this part of his life was meant for us to hear so that we would recognize maybe the patterns in our own lives and the decisions that we've made, the legitimate needs that we all have, and the illegitimate ways we've met them. And God, many times we think we've got no choice but to make the decisions we have. But the reality is there's always a choice to choose differently. And God, would you step into our lives and show us where lives can be changed and decisions can be made anew. Better choices, godlier choices, more holy choices. That we would stop what we're doing and turn to you, Jesus. And if we can't stop ourselves, would you send someone into our lives to speak truth? To dare get into our messy places and speak to us. And that we would then come to a place where we can make new choices. And the first place we stop, and the first choice we make, is the choice to come back to you. I pray that this morning, that these are the choices made today as we come before your communion table, to come back to you. We ask this in your name, Jesus.
Amen.